God we serve. Pastor David made a statement as you take your Bible and turn to Ephesians. Now we're going to be in a couple of places tonight, and I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts from a message that I'll be preaching the remainder of it another time. Pastor David made a statement when he and I were talking, may have been yesterday, may have been one day this past week. And he said, you know, you get to a place like that and you realize what a great big world we live in. And we do live in a great big world. We do. It's huge. And as I was, after we finished our conversation, as I was just thinking about that, I just had this thought. And it's a very simple thought. That's the kind of thoughts I have. What a great big God we have.
Amen.
You know, if we had a great big world and a little God, it would really lessen our hope that this great big world could ever know the hope that you and I know. But because this great big world has a great big God, I am confident that these people can have the hope that we have. We just have to get the message to them. We do. And so let's keep praying, keep giving, keep going, keep sending. Let's just keep doing what the Bible says do. Amen? You know, we want to just be a Bible church. That's our goal, right? Now, I'm going to talk to you about something tonight. I'm going to preach to you a little bit. And I want to preach to you about a very familiar subject. As I've been thinking about the home, and when I was thinking about preaching this series of messages on the home, you know, there's always scripture that comes to your mind. Any preacher that says that that's not so, well, they're just not being honest with themselves. When you think about the home, you think about passages of scripture, Ephesians 5, 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Psalm 127, Psalm 128. I mean, there's just scripture that you think about the home, and there's others, of course, you know, Colossians chapter 3. And I don't know, I looked through those passages and never got any peace whatsoever, any direction. And so, as you know, I preached some out of Philippians chapter 3, out of the prayer of the Apostle Paul, how that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know, if my home is going to be what God wants it to be, if your home is going to be what God desired and designed it to be, well, we're going to have to trust him to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. Because it's really not within me, outside of God, to have the home that I desire to have and that God designed for me to have. And it's the same way with you. It is. And so we really have choices, and that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to just talk to you about making a good choice tonight. In Ephesians, if you'll just turn there, and I'm going to ask you to stand. You've been sitting for a while, and I'm aware of the time, and so just bear with me. I have a thought, and I'm asking God to please help me get this thought across. Help me get this thought across. Now, I'll not complete the message by no means, but I want to give a thought that you can chew on a little bit. Now, God's very interested in me doing his will. Now, God has a plan for the nations, and God has a plan for the churches. God has a plan. God has a plan for the family. God has a plan for your life. And that's what I want to zero in on, God's plan for your life. How do you find that plan? Now, God has the plan. And some people haphazardly approach that plan. I'm not in any way insinuating that there's anyone here tonight that does that. I'm just saying that it is obvious that a lot of folks do not take God's plan very serious. But I want you to know that God has designed a plan for your life from start to finish. It's called that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And God has designed that plan. And God wants me to carry out that plan from my heart, to do the will of God from my heart. God wants me to follow that plan. Here in Ephesians chapter number 5, I want you to look at verse number 15. I'm just going to read a couple of verses of Scripture, and I want to talk to you about what does that look like? You know, you hear a lot about the will of God. And we hear a lot about doing the will of God and finding the will of God and following the will of God and finishing, you know, in the will of God. And by the way, that's a tall order. I mean, it really is. But God hasn't made it difficult. We're the ones that's made it difficult. We really do that with a lot of God's simplicity, don't we? I mean, I know I do. I make some of the things that God has made simple, I make them complicated by the way I approach them and by the way that I attempt them. When really the scriptures just laid it out and all I need to do is just follow what God has said. But that takes trust. And trust is not easy to come by with human beings. And so that's going to be what I'm going to talk to you about. Making the choice to trust. You want to be the husband you ought to be? You're going to have to make a choice to trust God. You want to be the wife? You're going to have to make a decision. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to do it. So I don't even know how to do that. Well, I'm going to show you from the Bible. It's very clear. The Bible's very clear. Just want to read some scripture to you, and then I'll give you these thoughts. Ephesians 5, verse number 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." That just simply means bottling up, buying it back, using it wisely. Don't waste your time. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he begins to talk about some of the things that follow being filled with the Spirit, and he eventually gets into the family life, about wives and husbands and children and parents and servants and masters. And it goes all the way down, if you'll turn over to chapter 6, when he's talking about the children, the fathers. And then he gets over into verse number 5 into the servants and the masters. And then he says in verse number 6 of chapter 6, he makes this statement. And this is a statement that has just really meant a lot to me in my Christian life. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." That's what I want to do. I want to do the will of God from my heart. I do not want to do the will of God to please you, and I do not mean that in a detrimental way. I just mean it in a transparent way. I want to do the will of God from my heart. I want God to look at my heart and say, that man right there wants to do my will. That man wants to please me. Do you want God to look at your heart and think that? I believe you do. Well, how can we get to that place? It's going to take more than just a simple desire. There's going to have to be a plan. There's going to have to be something that we do that's going to bring that desire, that strong desire, that our will would be to do God's will. It's called reconciling my will with God's will. And so I want to talk to you about that. Let's pray. Father, please help me to relay to the folks what you've put on my heart. God, help me to deliver what I have received in a way that would honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I wrote down some scripture that I just want to give you some references to as you turn to Proverbs chapter 3. A very familiar passage of scripture. Not going to wow you or teach you anything. I'm just going to remind you of some things. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, I've been reading through, Sharon and I have been reading through the book of Proverbs, and I mean, God has really been speaking to my heart. And I've preached a few messages on Wednesday nights, and I'll continue to do that. And when I got to chapter 3, it's one of my favorite verses of scripture here, verses 5 and 6. Look down at verse number 13. Proverbs 3, verse number 13. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Now, I'm telling you, that's a statement. Amen. You want to be happy? A lot of folks are really interested in being happy. You want to be happy? Well, here's a way to get happy right here. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and that gets understanding. Just prior to writing this statement, we are told a way that we can be successful in life. We're told a way that we could find the will of God, follow the will of God, and finish out doing the will of God. In other words, to do the will of God from our heart. And I'm just going to read these scripture to you. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the psalmist said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. God promised the psalmist, I'm going to instruct you. I'm going to teach you in the way that you should go. I need you to follow. Then it says in Isaiah 58, verse number 11, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. You never have to worry where God has said, listen, I'm not going to guide you any longer. God wants to guide me from start to finish. God wants to guide you from start to finish. The Bible says in Psalm 37, in verse number 23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And so I just want you to know that God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life, and it is a distinct purpose. God doesn't have to duplicate. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't have to say, well, you know what? I'm going to fit all of you in the same mold, and I want all of you to do the same thing. That's not the way God works. God has a distinct plan for your life. Find it. And when you find it, follow it. And when you follow it, be like Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Amen? I finished. Finish. Don't just find it and follow it for a while. Find it, follow it, and finish it. You say, well, preacher, I've gotten off course. Now what do I do? Well, let's look at what the scripture says. Are you in Proverbs chapter 3? Here, as I've told you in some of our Wednesday night services, is a father, and he constantly makes this statement in verse number 2, chapter 3, verse number 1, my son. Chapter 2 begins that way, my son. As a matter of fact, many, many times, the book of Proverbs starts with that. Here is Solomon saying, my son. Here is Solomon saying, what my father taught me, I want to pass this on to you. I want to pass you down wisdom. I thought it interesting that Brother Kevin this morning made mention of that. Passing down wisdom, passing down instruction to the next generation. And so he said unto him, he said, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, there's not a person in here that wouldn't say, I want that right there. I want that. But there's some things you have to do. You just have to do what he said. Get in the Word. Get the Word in you. You say, preacher, it's not that easy. Well, sure it is. It's as easy as God said it is. Get in the Word. Get in the Word of God. That's where it's at. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now he said before that, so that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. See, success is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y. Now you need money to live. I'm for it. Success is not spelled F-A-M-E. Success is not spelled with T-H-I-N-G-S. Listen, that's not success. Success is finding, following, and finishing the will of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with things as long as things don't have you. There's nothing wrong with material things. Amen? Not a thing wrong with it. Not a thing wrong with having a little popularity, being a good friend, a helper. But we're talking about what does God want? To do the will of God from the heart. How am I going to do that? What's that look like? How do you get there? Well, he addresses it in verse number 5. Look at it if you would. You know this verse. Many of you have memorized it. You memorized it. But it's not enough just to know what it says. We've got to follow what it says. It's not enough just to find it. We have to follow it. Notice what he said. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6 says, in all of thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I look right up here at me. The first word, trust. This is where it's at. I know what trust is. I don't know. I don't know if folks know what trust is or not. Trust. Trust is not something that we give easily. It's just not. And so if I am going to have God to bless my life, if I am going to do the will of God, there's just some things I must do. And it starts out with trust. With trust. Let me ask you a question. Do you, now don't answer it, with your body language or out loud, verbally. I just want you in your heart to really, really search your heart as I've searched my heart. Do you trust the Lord? Do you really trust Him? with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your, listen, with everything within you, do you trust God? Do you trust Him? Have you given God all of you? Have I given God all of me? Do I trust God with everything or just some things? Just the religious stuff? Are there some areas in my life that I'm not trusting God with? If there's some areas in my life that I'm not trusting God, I'm not trusting God. God wants me to trust Him with all of me. Amen? Look at what it says in verse number 6. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. If I'm not willing to do that, I'm not trusting Him with all of my heart. I'm not. And so I'm not trying to tell you you are or you're not. I don't know. I know about me. You know about you. And so I just want to ask you clearly and plainly. It's not complicated. Do you trust God? Do you? You know, if a stranger came up to me after the service tonight and said, "Hey, I need you to do something for me." Do you know what my answer is going to be? I might. Man, I don't know you. I'm going to begin to ask questions. What do you need done? Why do you need it done? What is this for? I'm going to inquire. I'm going to probe some, right? Somebody comes up to you don't know, that you don't, listen to me now, that you don't trust because you don't know them. You're going to be very reserved about just doing what they ask you to do. Are you reserved when God asks you to do things? Are you? You see, on the flip side of that, if Sharon, after the service tonight, said, "Dale, I need you to do something for me," I'm going to say, "Okay, what is it, honey?" You know why? Listen, no reservation, no probing, no questions. I trust her. She has my best interests in mind. My wife's not going to ask me to do anything that would harm me, humiliate me, or embarrass me. Well, not on purpose. I'm halfway carrying on. Some of you look like, you know. Do you see what I'm saying? I can trust my wife. I hope you trust your mate. Do you trust God that way? When God says, "Hey, I need you to do something for me," do you begin to ask questions? Do you need heaven to come down and bop you upside the head to make it clear to you? Or do you say, "Sure, what is it, Lord?" That's what Paul did. Amen? He did. See, that's what people do that trust the Lord. And so to help us answer the question, I thought it'd be good to give you that illustration. If when God asks me to do something, when God commands me to do something, if I have to have all the ins and outs of it, if I've got to know everything there is to know about it, and I've got to understand, get the survey out to find out if I'm going to do it or not, well, there's a problem there. There's a problem. There's a disconnect somewhere. See, in order to trust someone, you have to love them. You know why I would do for my wife something that I would not do for that stranger? I love my wife. I do not love that stranger the way I love my wife. I know my wife. I do not know that stranger, because love is predicated on knowledge. Listen to me now. Listen. Do you know God enough to love Him? Because to know Him is to love Him. Amen. And so when I know God, I love God. When I know God, I love Him. And when I know Him, to love Him, now I can trust Him. And when God says, "I have something for you to do," I don't have to have confirmation in 6 different ways. "Sure, Lord, what is it?" Just like when my wife says, "Hey, Dale, I have something I'd like for you to do." "Sure, honey, what is it?" Is that the way you answer your wife? I see some men getting confirmation now. Amen. I don't know, honey. I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard you ask me for anything. I've been asking you every day. "Oh, I didn't hear it." You know, we're laughing a little bit, but this is serious business. Trust. Look at it again. Trust in the Lord. If I can trust in my wife, surely I can trust in the Lord. God has been so good to me. God has never let me down. I know Him that way. I love Him that way. And I ought to trust Him that way. How about you? Do you trust the Lord? When God commands, when God lays out something for you, do you trust Him? You say, I just want to do the will of God, preacher. You're going to have to trust Him to do His will. You'll never do the will of God. I'll never do the will of God from the heart until I trust Him. Watch it now. Look at the verse one more time. Verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. No reservations. You listening? Do you genuinely know that God has your best interest in mind? Well, now sometimes, preacher, I just don't know if that's God saying it or not. I can tell you this. My wife could be in the next room, and she could ask me something, and there could be 10 people in the room, in the house, and I'd know, that's my wife. You need to get honed in to the voice of your Father. You know how you get honed into His voice? Get into His Word. And He will speak to you, and you will become familiar with His voice. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. You get accustomed to God's voice when you get into His Word. And I'm just trying to help you now. So, well, I want to be a better husband. Then trust God to help you be a better husband. God can help you be the model husband. Amen, man. I want to be a model wife. God can help you be a model wife. And now you're going to have to trust Him. Because you see, if you're just trying to be a wife predicated based on some material you're reading that's outside the Scripture, or this man-based or woman-based or worldly-based, that's not going to help you be the wife that God designed you to be, the husband that God designed us to be. But when we trust Him, when we trust God, He will help us be what He has designed us to be and what He has purposed us to be. So the first thing is trust. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. What's that look like? It looks like doing His commandments. You just do what God says do. That's not, it's really not. It's not, we try to make this so difficult. It's not difficult. It's just not. God says it and we do it. Can I tell you what God will even do? This is how gracious He is. God will even give you the ability and the enablement to do what He's commanded you to do. Isn't that something? God's good that way. God says, you know what? My commandments will come with My enablements. I'm going to enable you to do what I've commanded you to do. God doesn't leave it all on me. God doesn't leave it all on you. Do you trust God? Do I trust God? With all of my heart. So I want to do the will of God. We're going to have to trust Him now. You got to trust Him. I want to have a good Christian home. I want to be a good Christian husband. I want to be a good Christian wife. You're going to have to trust God now. You're going to have to listen to Him. You're going to have to do what He says. How often? I don't know. Look at verse number 6 and you see what you get out of that. In all of thy ways, acknowledge Him. Everything. It's total commitment, brethren. I think what we want is we want God to totally commit to us, but we're not willing to totally commit to Him. Did I ring a bell there? It rung mine when God brought it to my mind. I want God to be true. I want God to be faithful. I want God to be all in. I want God to be committed to me all the way, in every way. And yet I know what the Bible teaches. And I didn't get into this yesterday. You didn't either. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. So I think I have a better way, preacher. Well, God said, no, wait a minute. Hold it. You need to get back in verse number 5. And I'm going to finish here because I have more I want to say, but I don't want to get there tonight. I want you to look at the way verse number 5 ends. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. And God knows what's coming next. God knows me. God knows man. God knows we think we have a way that is right. There is a way that seemeth right, right? As a matter of fact, if you look at verse number 7, God just said, hey, write this down, Solomon. Just write this down. I know what they're thinking. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't think you know a better way. Don't think you know a way that'll work out just as good, because you don't. Amen. And he's attached my name to that many times. Dale Freeman, you listen to me. You think you know a better way. You don't know a better way. Do it my way. My way is the best way. Quit trying to do my will in some areas and your will in others, and don't you lean on your own understanding. Now, God never tells us in his word not to get understanding. As a matter of fact, he tells us over and over again in the book of Proverbs, get understanding, get understanding, get understanding, get understanding. But use the understanding as you trust in the Lord. Use that understanding to understand the ways of God, so that in all of your ways you will acknowledge him. That's understanding. I understand that in every one of my ways, in all of my ways, I need to acknowledge him. And if I will do that, I understand that he has promised me that he would direct my paths. He'll direct yours too. He will. God loves you. And God has a plan for your life. And you say, when the preacher, I don't know. I feel like this is just, it's beyond me. No, the will of God's not beyond any of us. God has made it available to all of us. When you get saved, God puts you at the start line. And God has your race prepared. Listen to me now. And he wants you to run your race. And he wants you to finish your race. And he wants me to finish my race. Now, many times along the ways, I'm going to fall. I have fallen. I have fallen in this race. And when I was younger, as a younger Christian, I just get all to pieces about that. It just tear me all to pieces. What am I going to do? But God has grown me a little bit, and he's taught me a few things. And the options are limited, brother. When you fall, you have to stay down or get up. And I use that. I speak to myself. When I'm down, I speak to myself. I've told my children that numerous times. You have two options here. Stay down or get up. Amen. Amen. Don't make this difficult. You say, well, I've gotten a little off track. My church attendance has gotten a little weak. My Bible reading's gotten a little weak, preacher. I don't pray like I once did. Maybe you have quit witnessing. Maybe you've lost your burden for souls. What are you going to do? Trust the Lord. Trust him that he will do right by you when you go to him and say, God, I missed it. I've just messed up your plan. I've got off your path, and I want you to put me back on the path. God, forgive me and help me. I want to do it your way, Lord. I don't want to do it my way. And the Bible has promised that God would forgive us and cleanse us, hasn't it? And he'll put us back on the right path, the right path. All right? And we'll talk more about this, the Lord willing, another time. Maybe the next Sunday night. We'll see. But my question tonight, as we stand to our feet, are you trusting the Lord? You know, someone said this: to know him is to love him. Now listen carefully. This, what biblical principles are in these truths? To love him, to know him is to love him. To love him is to trust him. To trust him is to obey him. To obey him will bring his blessing. Oh, isn't that what we all need? Isn't that what we all need? Do you know him? Do you yearn to know him more? I do. Sometimes I get lazy. I just do. And that yearning is not as, well, it's just not like it ought to be. And I'm sorry. I am. I'm sorry. And sometimes I just need to tell the Lord, God, I'm sorry. I don't yearn for you like I should or like I did. I trust you, Lord. I trust you. Help me. Help me. Are you there? Are you? So, you know, I've kind of lost my fervor. I've lost my fire. I've lost my direction. I feel like maybe I'm stumbling along, and just sometimes I feel like I'm going in circles, Pastor. Well, you know, I think we've all been there. We've all been there. Trust the Lord with all of thine heart. He has your best interest in mind. Acknowledge Him. Don't try to get out of this on your own. Listen to me now. Listen to Him. I'm going to help you if you'll listen. Somebody needs to hear this. You are not going to get where you need to be from where you are without God helping you. All right? You need God's help. Now, you didn't need God's help to get away from Him, but you're going to need it to get back to Him. You hear me? All right. Let's bow our heads together.